Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Hello, friends, and welcome to our time of prayer and scripture. Pro-life leader Frank Pavone here. Feel free to leave your prayer intentions in the comments as we delve now into the Word of God, bring ourselves into His presence, and intercede for one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we rejoice that we have received Your Word. It teaches us the difference between sin and virtue, and compels us to live the new life of Christ. And therefore, each day, we examine our conscience and we repent of sin, which we do again now. We ask You to renew us and set us on a new path. Each day, Lord God, Your Word stirs in us the desire to have others know it, the zeal to proclaim it. May we be strengthened in that today as well. Lord God, may we, with humility, put forth to the world the authority of the Word You give us, knowing that it will judge. We are not the ones to judge, but Your Word judges, and we can wield that Word and proclaim it and give witness to it always. May our time now together help us understand that Word more deeply, live it more faithfully, and proclaim it more effectively. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. This reading is from the Gospel according to John. Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in the one who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. I came into the world as light, so that everyone who believes in me might not remain in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not observe them, I do not condemn him, for I did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Whoever rejects me and does not accept my words has something to judge him. The word that I spoke, it will condemn him on the last day. Because I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. So what I say as the Father told me." Friends, this goes along with the passage in the Acts of the Apostles, also proclaimed today, in which we see Barnabas and Saul completing a mission, the prophets and the teachers coming together, the Holy Spirit saying, "Go and preach my word, set apart Barnabas and Saul." They lay hands on them, they pray, they fast, they send them off to specific places, and they preach the Word of God under the direction of the Holy Spirit. In other words, Jesus dies and rises for us, the great events that we celebrated in the Easter Triduum. And then this great preaching of the Word starts taking place. More and more people sent to more and more places, and the structure of the church, the community getting together, praying, and then sending forth these preachers, just as the Father sent forth the Son, as we're reading in the Gospel, and preached exactly the words He gave him, so now this is the growth and mission of the church. It's how we heard the Word of God. It's how we bring it to others. For those that want to preach their own message, listen carefully again to what Jesus says. "The Father commands me what to say." This is John 12. Back in John 7, Jesus said it this way, "My teaching is not my own." So it really gives a blow to any kind of pride or arrogance or thinking that we have, that we somehow it's our message that we're proclaiming. No. "The Father commands me what I say." This is Jesus talking. How much more us, brothers and sisters? When we share the Word of God, whether we're teaching it to our children, proclaiming the pro-life message on the streets and sidewalks of America, or on social media, or those of you who are preachers in the pulpit, these readings should give us an utter confidence and a complete humility. And they both spring from the same fact that, as we see in this reading from the Acts of the Apostles, it's the Holy Spirit appointing them to preach. And as we see in the gospel, the word we're preaching is that of Jesus, which is that of the Father, not ours. So in other words, this gives us, first of all, humility. It's like, hey, listen, it's not my, I don't have to come up, it should relieve us of a great burden. I don't have to come up with the message. I'm preaching the word of God. It's a big obligation of fidelity. But it gives us humility. It's like, wait a second, I'm not, and if it's the word of God that I'm preaching rather than my own, I'm in no position to consider myself superior to anybody else. We don't look down on those who are hearing the word of God from our lips. We don't look down at them at all. We're under the same word. We're not so many people think because we preach with clarity, it means we're judging people or we want to control them. I remember Senator Jesse Helms, who was a leading pro-life senator, since passed away, but he was in the U.S. Senate, and when I was getting started with Priests for Life, we had some meetings together. And he, Southern man from North Carolina, he was giving a pro-life speech one night and going into the banquet hall, a pro-choice woman yelled out, there were some protesters there, and why do you want to control our bodies? And he turns to her and says, ma'am, there may be someone in this great earth that is less interested in controlling your body than I am, but if there is, I don't know who it might be. And with his characteristic humor, he really said something which is pertinent to these readings here today. When we proclaim the word of God with authority, it's not us controlling anybody. We're receiving a word from Almighty God. We've received it first and foremost that we might believe it and obey it. And our duty to believe and obey it does not in any way get weakened or lessened by the fact that we also have the commission to proclaim it. We aren't putting ourselves above anybody. And it's the Holy Spirit that sends us. Some people say, well, who are you to tell other people what to do? We proclaim the pro-life message again, and they think we're trying to control people's lives or take away their rights or control their body. No such thing. Who gave you the right to say this? Why don't you just believe what you want to believe, and we'll believe what we want to believe, and everybody live happily ever after? Well, because unless you believe the gospel of life, some people don't end up living at all. You can't live happily ever after if some of the people that you disagree with think that they can take lives. Brothers and sisters, it's not a matter of everyone retreating to their own cubicle and believing whatever they want. There is a word that has been proclaimed. There is a truth that has been announced, and there are people who have been appointed and empowered to teach that truth to others, and guess what? That includes us. So we can't retreat into this false kind of humility. Oh, I'm not going to tell anybody else what to believe and what to do. How about speaking the words that the Father has spoken? How about doing like just what Jesus says, what the Father has commanded me, I speak. And what is that word? Eternal life. This is all about life. Excuse me. That's why we call it the gospel of life. And it's the word that judges people, not us. Notice Jesus says, it is not even I, and this is the Son of God speaking, who will condemn people. It is the word itself. When we put that word before people, we're putting a serious obligation on them. Because once they've come to know it, think about, again, the truth of pro-life. Once they've come to know what's going on with abortion, and then they don't act on it, that word, that message, that truth itself becomes a judgment to them. You knew these babies were at risk and you didn't do anything? You knew that this mercy was available and you didn't announce it to those who are hurting from shame and guilt? Puts a duty on us, puts an obligation on us, and it becomes the judgment. So that we're not judging people because, you know, if we ourselves judge them, then we're judging them based on do we like them or not, or did they hurt us, or did we hurt them, or what? That has nothing to do with it. It's a word from the Lord that we're privileged to witness to. And that word itself will do all the judging that's necessary. And we'll separate. And well, as Scripture tells us in the letter to the Hebrews, the word itself is like a two-edged sword, piercing the very recesses of the heart. Challenges us to change, shows us our sins, and then the beautiful thing is it leads us to the repentance and the forgiveness and the peace that we long for once we recognize our sins and want to make up for them. Let that word dwell in you, brothers and sisters, and proclaim it with confidence, because it has the power to change us and to change the world. Let's pray. Father, as we proclaim your word, as we proclaim you to the world, may we find you. As we work, Lord God, to change the world, may we ourselves be changed. As we proclaim the gospel of life, may we find life eternal. And as we come to you now, we bring with you all our brothers and sisters. Lord, this very day, we intercede for them. Grant all that we need. Every last desire, petition, every last grace that is lacking in our lives, provide it in abundance, Lord. Show your faithful love. We sum up our prayers in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Well, thank you, friends, and God bless you as you continue to make your journey. God bless your pro-life work, and continue to support ours. Thank you for doing that. I know that many of you do, because we rely just on you as we rely on the Lord. We will talk to you tomorrow. God bless.
This is Father Dennis Wild, Associate Director of Priests for Life. Been in the organization for 25 years, and it's marvelous because I want to tell you today about financial support for one of our most effective pro-life ministries in the world. Priests for Life has been leading the fight against abortion for decades. We are led by a strong and varied team of pro-life activists and experts in mobilizing churches, electing pro-life candidates, leading prayer efforts, publishing and broadcasting, healing the wounds of abortion, uniting pro-life leaders in strategy, meetings, defending life in the international arena. All of this, Priests for Life does not receive church funding or government grants. We rely on you for individual donations. We have very high evaluations among charities and top security on our donation site, prolifegift.org. You can go there for a one-time gift or to become a monthly donor. Or you can call us at 321-500-1000. That's 321-500-1000. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.